everybody here, and hello to everybody who will hear this tape at one time or another. What I'm going to be talking about today is a sermon that I gave a number of years ago that I sent out to our mailing list right before we had left America on the subject of who is Babylon. And today probably call this something like Babylon Revisited. And literally for 2 years, me and Petra had traveled around America to many congregations and churches preaching about Babylon and end time Babylon. And since we've left America, Yahweh has opened up many, many doors throughout the whole world for us to be able to witness and preach about end time Babylon. And before we start, I'd just like to say it's very interesting that anywhere we've gone in the world, and literally, I mean, thousands of people we've been able to witness to about Babylon and hand out flyers we have on it and, like I said, give sermons, preach, we've never had one person out of America ever question this subject. There is so much proof and so much information about who end time Babylon is that it's just overwhelming. If you were in a court of law, it's almost like with the Sabbath, whether the Sabbath is Saturday or Sunday. The proof is so overwhelming that it's just irrefutable. And what's interesting, only in America, and I guess because we believe Babylon is America, that we've had people get not only disagree, but really get offended at the fact of America being Babylon. And yet, it's been, I guess, about 4 or 5 years that I've been studying this, and I've never even had one scripture that anyone's been able to refute. I had sent my tapes on Babylon and information to, I don't know how many churches, almost every Church of God, Seventh-day Adventist churches, all different churches, and literally asking if there's anything scripturally wrong with this, would you please comment and send back, and never once did we ever get one scripture that was against it. And there's a lot of information today, and it's almost even impossible. When I usually talk about Babylon, I usually do it in a 3-hour seminar. And we're going to try to get this into about an hour and 15, an hour and 20 minute tape. So I'm going to have to go quickly, and I'll leave some things out, and I may just refer to some scriptures that you could look up later. But I'm going to get started. And it's very interesting, with the word Babylon, what it means is confusion. And I think in the world we live in today, there is no doubt that even though we have more scientific discoveries and more mechanical gadgets than the world has ever known, the world is more confusing today than ever been. And I do want to say at the beginning, although I do believe that the country of America is end-time Babylon of Revelation 17 and 18 and Jeremiah 50 and 51, that we're going to go over many of these scriptures, I also do believe that Babylon is a system. I do not doubt the fact that Babylon is a system. I believe Babylon has been around since almost creation, if not creation, in theory at least anyway. The Tower of Babel in ancient Babylon was definitely Babylon. I believe that Rome was Babylon at the turn of the century. And I believe that though there is an end-time Babylon, which is America, and I believe what Yahweh is so upset about is not necessarily the land of America. He's not upset at the beautiful mountains and the beautiful countryside of America, but it is the system of world democracy. That is the big problem. It's the system of world democracy that America has pushed on the world. And we'll talk a little bit more about that as we go on here, because as we've traveled around the world, we have seen what world democracy has done. And it really is a really, really bad thing. But the word Babylon, like I said, it means confusion. And the word picture for Babylon, it could be taken two ways. Either when there are two heads of the family, or when you are trying to serve two masters. You could take it either way. And I think both are correct when you look at America, because, I mean, many places in the world you have two people working, but I think America, more than anywhere in the world, you have this fight in the family of the man and the woman both going for headship. And when you speak in America about women, you know, staying at home and taking care of their families, you're looked at as a male chauvinist. And people just don't like it. It's really, really degrading to be looked at that way when it's the most awesome job that our Father created. You know, and the man is meant to go out and work the field and bring in the food for the family, and the woman is to run the home and raise the children and care for them. And It's a very, very important job, and the man and the woman, they work together toward that job. But again, the man is the head of the family, as Yeshua is the head of the church in authority. And the second part of that Babylon word picture, when you're trying to serve two masters, and remember, Babylon, or world democracy, it is a whole system that's centered around greed and money. Absolutely centered around greed and money. And it's amazing to think about that there are over, probably two-thirds of the people in the world today that are making, you know, a dollar a week, you know, $5 a week, you know, you name it, $50 a month. Where in America, and Europe too, Western Europe, you know, people make $50,000, $100,000, $200,000 a year, and even more. There are more millionaires in the last decade made in America than I believe ever before. And it's just because of the system, the stock market, real estate. It's just a system that's built around greed, and as the rich get richer, the poor get poorer. If you look at this whole New World Order, and Babylon is the center of the New World Order, remember in Revelation 17, the woman, Babylon, rides the beast. But then the beast hates her and destroys her because America is the center of this system that's been created. America is the center of this world democracy. But the other countries are getting upset. They're getting upset that while America is getting richer and richer, people are living poorer and poorer and don't even have the basic necessities of life. You know, running water, food, shelter. Another thing I want to say before we start, because I'm going to be going over many scriptures in Jeremiah 50 and 51, that these scriptures, contrary to what some may believe, have never been fulfilled. And I've mentioned a number of times that for a long number of years I've studied history, primarily church history, or world history as it pertained to Israel and the church. But if you go into any kind of history book and you look at this era of Babylon, when they were a world power, and when they overtook Jerusalem in 605 BC, going on to around 570, and then Babylon was taken over by the Persians, Cyrus the Mede and the Medo-Persian era started, in 539 BC. And when they came in and overtook Babylon, and when you read the book of Daniel, you'll see it. It was just, boom, overnight. There was a switch of government. But you won't see any destruction. The city was not destroyed. The gates of the city never closed. The city never stopped trading. And yet in Jeremiah 50 and 51, we see a dramatic destruction. We see a destruction that comes in one day, like it says in Revelation 18. Immediate destruction and complete. We'll see not one person is left when this destruction comes. We see also at the time of this destruction that Israel, the 10 tribes, and Judah are coming back together. They're being called back to the land of Israel together, which has never happened. It has never happened. Since the dispersion of the 10 tribes in 721 BC by Assyria and Judah going into captivity by Babylon, they have never come together as one. Today in the land of Israel, the physical land, you have Judah living there with Benjamin and part of Levi. There may be remnants of a few other tribes that are there, but not in mass. They're not living in the area. It's not like what's going to happen in the millennium when Yeshua returns, where each tribe will be put back in their own land. So Jeremiah 50 and 51 have never been fulfilled. These are for the future. And I'm going to just read here just to show you, this isn't just my point of view, but many, many scholars believe this. And I'm reading from the Zondervan Bible Commentary. And it's an abridgment from the Expositor's Bible Commentary, which again, this is an excellent Bible commentary, an excellent one. They have one for the Old Testament, one for the New Testament, but they have charts, historical records. It's one of the best I've seen, the Zondervan. And going over Jeremiah 50 and 51, it talks about over here that it says, with the decline of her political power, the irrigation canals were slitted up so that the country became desolate. Cyrus, who unified the Medo-Persian Empire and then overwhelmed Babylon, and again this was 539 BC, was careful to spare the country. So the references to her total destruction must be to a later attack. Babylon will learn the agony the law of retaliation entails. Another thing that's very interesting is when you look at chapter 50 and 51, Jeremiah uses metaphors for Babylon. He'll call it Maranatha, And different words like that, that mean different things. Maranatha means double rebellion or double punishment, which Babylon is going to get two punishments. But over here in the same Zondervan commentary, Bible commentary, it says that the ciphers that Jeremiah used are not known because he generally used the name Babylon. An obvious reason would be to hide the identity of the nation prophesied against. So again, we see that Yahweh is using these metaphors for Babylon to hide the identity until the time of the end. And it says the cup was a golden cup because she intoxicated the nations with her wealth and power. With her wealth and power, she intoxicated the nations. So we see that these things were hidden until the end time. And actually, only until last decade, until the 90s, and the cuneiform writings in ancient Iraq, in the land of ancient Babylon, that have come up, have we known these things about Babylon and about Ishtar and about the real things of Babylon. So that's very interesting. I'm going to just read here Jeremiah 50 and verse 1. Jeremiah 50 and verse 1. Because other people that believe that Babylon is only a system, that it's only a system, that it's not a physical land, which we'll see is absolutely not true. And again, before we start here, I think what I'll do is I'll give you a second to get a pad and pen. What I want you to do is write down as we go over all these characteristics, whatever you think Babylon may be. If you think it's a system, write down system. Write down America, write down Catholic Church, and anything else. If you think it's Russia, if you think, I don't know what else you might think it is. If you think it's only New York City, whatever you think Babylon could be, put them down. And as we go through each thing, just put a check mark next to which one fulfills each thing that we go over. And what you'll see is out of about 100 different characteristics, only the country of America fulfills every single one perfectly. Every single one perfectly. So Jeremiah 50 verse 1 says, the word that Yahweh spoke against Babylon, against the land of the Chaldeans, by Jeremiah the prophet. Declare you among the nations and cause them to hear and lift up a banner, cause them to hear. Do not hide and say, Babylon is captured. Bel is put to shame. Merodach is broken into pieces. Her images are put to shame. Her idols are broken into pieces. So we see here that Babylon is a land. It's against the land of the Chaldeans. And you'll see that interchangeable. They'll talk about the land of Babylon and the land of the Chaldeans. Babylon was a city. Chaldea was the country. The same way I believe New York is the city of Babylon. I believe world democracy is the system of Babylon. I believe New York is the city of Babylon, and I believe America is the country of Babylon. Is the country of Babylon. And all three come into play as you come on here. And just going over one more verse in chapter 50, verse 3, it says, for a nation comes up against her from the north, which shall make her land a desert. Yea, no one shall dwell in it. They shall flee. They shall depart, both man and animal. So they're getting attacked, and their land is made desolate. And on your own, when you're done hearing this tape, just read Jeremiah 50 and 51 completely, and Revelation 17 and 18. And you will see without a doubt that it cannot just be talking about a system. They are physically talking about a land being attacked, and it cannot just be talking about a system. And as you'll see, these things in Jeremiah 50 and 51 are talking about things in the end time, when Israel and Judah are being redeemed and coming back to the land of Israel. So these are things for our time today. I want to go to Jeremiah 15, verse 12, and we'll start going over here the characteristics now. Jeremiah 15, verse 12 says, your mother shall be deeply ashamed, and this is when Babylon is destroyed. She who bore you shall turn pale. Behold, the last of the nations shall be a wilderness, a dry land, and a desert. And that word last literally means in succession of place. It doesn't mean last as in lowest. It means last as in time sequence. So again, America is the last of the nations. North America is the last country to be inhabited in a flowing civilization. We know that people have lived there probably for thousands of years, but in a large civilization. And America is the last superpower. You know, they are the youngest country that's out there today. Like it says, if we go to Daniel 7, Daniel the 7th chapter, and I'm going to start over here in verse 2. It says, Daniel spoke, and and said, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of the heavens drove upon the great sea. And four great beasts came up from the sea, different from one another. The first was like a lion and had eagle's wings. I beheld that the wings there were plucked, and it was lifted from the earth and made to stand upon the feet as a man, and a man's heart was given to it. So we see that this first beast, who is Babylon, if you read Daniel 2 and 4, we see that the four kingdoms were Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, and Rome were the four kingdoms, literal kingdoms at that time in succession. We're going to have four kingdoms again in the end. The first one is Babylon. And Babylon looked like a lion and had eagle's wings. We know America came out of England, who is represented by the great lion, and America is represented by the eagle. So it looks like a lion, but it has eagle's wings. We go to Isaiah 47 and verse 12. And some of these I'm going to go through quickly because, like I said, I have a lot of information and not trying to fit it all in a short period of time here. Isaiah 47 and verse 12 says, stand now with your enchantments and with your multitude of your sorceries where you have labored from your youth. If so be that you shall be able to profit, that you may prevail. In verse 15, thus shall they be unto you with whom you have labored, even thy merchants from your youth. They shall wander everyone to his quarter, none shall save you. So we see that Babylon is a trading nation from their youth. They're a young nation, like we said before. And again, America, 200 years for a nation is very, very young. Extremely young for a nation. And they were a trading nation. And that may not sound much to you at this point, because many countries now are trading nations. But very few, historically, nations were trading nations. And here it is, Babylon is a trading nation the way America was from their youth. We see that Jeremiah 51, 13. We go back to Jeremiah 51. In verse 13. It says, O you who live by many waters, rich in treasures, your end is come, the measure of your unjust gain. Okay, so that's two things we see from this scripture. Number one, that Babylon sits upon many waters. America, since their inception as a nation, have never been attacked because the waters around them have been a fortress. They have the Atlantic Ocean on one side, they have the Pacific Ocean on the other side, they have the Gulf of Mexico, they have the Great Lakes on top, and it's been a fortress around them, the many waters that they sit by. And it also says, beside the waters, that they're rich in treasures. And this is another thing about Babylon, that she lives in luxury. She's a pleasure-seeking nation, rich in treasures. And like I said, I hope you're marking with your little pen here, because, again, only America, if you look at it today, and we'll get into more of this about Babylon, the great economic power, in a little bit. But by far, America is the richest nation on the face of the earth. By far, they are the greatest trading nation. They live more luxurious than anywhere. And one of the problems we've had traveling around is there's a great anti-American sentiment in the world almost everywhere we go. Even in Israel, that America protects, it's everywhere, because the people in the world are jealous that America has all this pleasure-seeking and they're making lots of money and that everybody else isn't. And I've seen people, they get angry with us. They're pointing fingers sometimes and talking about America this and America that. And I'd rather argue with someone, or I'd rather be fervent more for the gospel than standing up for the country of America. But we just don't get into it. We don't get into it one way or the other when it comes to politics and these things, because we believe this whole system of world democracy and the New World Order is evil and corrupt and wicked. And we try to tell them about Yeshua's kingdom and the real, good time that's going to be coming. But we see that Babylon sits upon many waters, and she's very rich. If we go to Revelation 17, it says the same thing, verse 1. Revelation 17, 1. And there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials, and talked with me, saying, come here, and I will show you the judgment of the great whore that sits upon many waters. And over here, drop down to verse 15, and he said unto me, the waters which you saw where the whore sits are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. So we see in the Old Testament that the waters were literal waters, which America has on every side. And over here in Revelation, spiritually, it's saying she sits upon many waters, which are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. America is a great melting pot. And probably more than any nation in the world, America has people from every single country that lives in their country. What I'm also going to do, which I want to say in the beginning, well, I'll say this a little later about that. Let's go back to Jeremiah 50. Jeremiah 50 in verse 37. Jeremiah 50 in verse 37. And it says, a sword is on his horses and his chariots and all the mixed people in her midst. All the mixed people in her midst. So even in Jeremiah, it talks about Babylon being a great melting pot. A great melting pot. And, you know, one of the great things that ancient Babylon was famous for is when they would destroy a country and overtake them, they literally, just like with Nebuchadnezzar, which he told the people in Israel, the Jews, to come and live there. And what did Yahweh say to Jeremiah? Go there and you'll be safe and build houses and have families. Because what they would do is they wouldn't really suppress the people. They would allow the people to blend into their culture, and they'd even allow them to bring their gods. You know, it was nothing wrong with that at that time, that they were allowed to bring in their gods and blend in with their culture. And Babylon accepted this because they were a great melting pot. The same way America is today, and that's the spiritual fornication that she's committing. That America that was built on being a Christian nation, what happens? They allowed Buddha into the country. They allowed Allah into the country. They allowed all the different gods. Now they say, you know, it's because of freedom of religion, but you know, Yahweh is not for freedom of religion. He is not for all these false gods that are coming in. And the point of freedom of religion when our country, when America started, was not to allow all these other false gods. What it was that the country was built as a Christian nation, and they didn't want one particular Christian sect, such as the Baptists or such as the Catholics, to overrun the government in the country. They didn't want a corporate church, so to speak. The same way, who would want that today? I mean, I'm a believer in Yeshua, and I wouldn't want to be run or controlled by some corporate church and their doctrines of men either. I don't think most people would want to, and many people are coming out from that. But by no means did the makers of the Constitution ever, you know, in picture that America would be overrun by all these false gods, by Buddha and Allah and all these other false gods that are out there. That was not the point of freedom of religion. It was freedom of Christianity. Religion, or you know, Judaism also was allowed, but freedom of Yahweh, of Elohim, of the one God, not the false gods. So we see again, we see that there, it's a melting pot, though, a great melting pot. If we go to Isaiah 47, we'll see that Babylon was also a democracy. Babylon is a democracy. Isaiah 47, in one verse 13, says, "You are wearied in the multitude of your counsels." And then it says, now let the astrologers and the stargazers, the monthly pronosticators, stand up and save you from these things that shall come upon thee. So we see two things here. Number one, that Babylon is wearied in the multitude of councils. We know that America is the world's quote-unquote greatest democracy. We know how confusing it is with a Senate and a House of Representatives that's Democrat and Republicans, and how they argue and fight, and they seem to never get anything done because of that. And that's what it says, they're wearied with their multitude of councils. And we also see here that it says, because of the astrologers and stargazers and monthly pronosticators, and it's been a well-known fact for years and years and years in America, going way back, we know all the way at least to Roosevelt, that the presidents have used these fortune tellers. We know that Eleanor Roosevelt was big on this stuff. We know that Hillary Clinton actually did channeling and supposedly spoke with the spirit of Eleanor Roosevelt. But I think we know what spirit she really was speaking with. George Bush Sr. with the Gulf War, they went to fortune tellers to figure out what was the best time to go in and fight against Saddam Hussein. And we know when the Reagans were in office, Nancy Reagan was major into this, and Ronald Reagan. And many, many decisions they made, even on a daily basis, was by fortune telling and daily pronosticators. So it's very interesting to see that also, how they're into the occult. And, you know, when you look around America, you see these psychic hotlines, I mean, just everywhere, you know, every day people with their looking up their horoscopes. And the occult is absolutely everywhere. If you drop back from Isaiah 47 that we're in, just look for verse 9, It says, but these two things shall come upon you in one moment, the loss of children and widowhood. They shall come upon you in their full power for the multitude of your sorceries and for the great abundance of your enchantments. And again, Babylon is much into the occult. If we go to Revelation 18, go to one scripture there about the occult and drugs. Revelation 18 and verse 23 says, and the light of a candle shall shine no more in you, and the voice of the bridegroom shall be heard no more in you at all. For your merchants were the great men of the earth, for by your sorceries were all the nations deceived. And that word sorceries is pharmakeia, where the word pharmacy comes from, by their drugs, by their medicine. Now, who is the number one drug producer in the world? Merck, Pfizer, Johnson & Johnson by America. And not necessarily that every one of these drugs they're producing is wrong, but what it is they have deceived, they have made captive the American people by these drugs. I mean, literally, they have put them into captivity. And how many Americans that are just hooked on these drugs and they have to have them for different things, and they're so expensive that they can't even afford them. So here it is again, only in America. They have drugs in every country, but in America is where they produce the majority of these drugs. Absolutely majority of them. If we'll stay in Revelation 17 here for a minute, in verse 18, Revelation 17 and verse 18. It says, and the woman which you saw, okay, so this is going to tell who the woman is. Okay, some people want to say the woman is this or the woman is that. It's the Catholic Church. It's a system. Well, here it says, this is the woman. The woman which you saw is that great city which reigns over the kings of the earth. It is that great city that reigns over the kings of the earth. Now, it's interesting. Where is the only city in the world that reigns over the kings of the earth? New York City. Only in New York City do you have the United Nations, where all the kings of the earth come and assemble unto her. If we go back to Jeremiah 51, we'll see in the Old Testament also a scripture, Jeremiah 51 and verse 44. Jeremiah 51 and verse 44. And it says, and I will punish Bel in Babylon, and I will bring forth out of his mouth that which he has swallowed up. And the nations shall not flow or assemble together any more to him. Yea, the wall of Babylon shall fall. So we see that all the nations assemble unto her. She reigns over the kings of the earth, and all the nations assemble unto her. Now again, it's not that hard to figure out. America is the only country in the world that has the United Nations, where all the nations in the world assemble unto her. So again, some of these characteristics may fit another country, but so far every single characteristic we're showing, without a doubt, America is the ultimate fulfillment of every one of these. They're the youngest nation. They've been a trading nation since their youth. Their mother was the lion, and yet they're the eagle. They have eagle's wings. They sit upon many waters all around them. They are the great melting pot. They are a democracy. They are the biggest drug producing nation in the world. And they are the only nation where all the nations assemble unto her. Now, a couple other facts that are very interesting here. I'd like to just go over as far as characteristics of Babylon. Do you know that New York, Long Island, is the only place on the face of the earth today that is called Babylon, that has a city named Babylon? It's in Long Island, New York. It's called Babylon, New York. Now, what's interesting about that, too, so we're going to read about Babylon. One of the biggest things about Babylon is they're trading by sea. The ships that come in, the merchants that bring their merchandise. They're this great trading nation, this merchant nation. Do you know that when ships come in to America through New York, and they're coming in through the Atlantic Ocean into the harbor there, the Hudson Harbor, do you know the very first thing they see is a gigantic water tower that's in Babylon that says, "Welcome to Babylon"? So it's very ironic. The very first thing they see, the first port that they see, is Babylon. Do you know that the Capitol building in Washington, D.C. was made after the Pantheon, which was the first temple in Babylon? Exactly the same design, outlay, everything. And even on the top of the Capitol building is an Ishtar statue. And Ishtar, again, is where Easter comes from. Ishtar was the mother goddess of spring of Babylon. and that goddess is what we know today, where Easter comes from, the Mother Earth goddess of Ishtar. Now, the second temple in Babylon was called the White House. Very interesting that our Washington, D.C. was called after that. And by the Masons, we know that Washington, D.C. is outlined in the shape of the compass in the square of the Masonic Lodge. And the second temple was called the White House in Babylon. The obelisk of the Washington Monument was exactly structured as the exact size of the obelisk in Babylon, the Babylonian obelisk. Same shape, size, everything. Another thing very interesting, you know, when you look at Revelation 17, it talks about the whore, the woman, you know, this great whore of Babylon. And we know that whoredom in the Bible, spiritual whoredom, is to make contracts and to fornicate with the kings of the earth, it says. And that's what Babylon has done. Do you know that America basically has pacts with everybody in the world, even China. Today, China and America are at odds. They've had this thing with the spy plane not too long ago. You know, China is becoming the next enemy, the way Russia was, maybe in the 80s, going into the early 90s, but specifically the 80s. And even with all this trouble with China, they'll trade billions of dollars worth of things, because money overrides everything. Money overrides everything. And that's with the great whore, this Ishtar, which she represented. It wasn't a physical prostitute. It was a prostitute, a spiritual prostitute, that brought in all these other gods into their nation, that spiritually will sacrifice anything, you know, for the almighty dollar. And do you know that today, America gives over $2 billion a year in aid to Egypt, who is persecuting Christians, they're electrocuting Christians, they're crucifying Christians. Same thing in Sudan. Many, many other countries, just like China, that are persecuting and killing Christians, and yet America, for money, will give them these things. And that's the spiritual fornication that America has committed, the great whore of Babylon. Now, another interesting thing is when you look at this great Lady Liberty, you know, Babylon is called a lady, Lady Liberty. Do you know that Ishtar, the goddess of Babylon, was called the mother of immigrants? She was called the mother of immigrants. She had a crown on her head, and all this is coming from the cureform writings of the ancient cureform writings that they have just found in the royal records of Babylon, probably about maybe 6 or 7 years ago. They also found that she had a crown on her head with 7 points. She was called the mother of immigrants, and the cureform depicted Ishtar always with either a golden cup or a torch in her hand. Golden cup or torch. That's very interesting, because who else is pictured? And she always wore purple and scarlet robes. That's the way it was pictured in these cureform royal records. So what symbol do you know today of any world or any country that has the symbol of a woman with robes on, with a 7-spike crown, and a torch in her hand? Well, of course, the Statue of Liberty. The Statue of Liberty, which is very interesting. Again, the Statue of Liberty, which is in New York. So we see that the Statue of Liberty pictures exactly the Statue of Libertas. That's where it comes from. It was the Roman goddess Libertas, which is the Roman name for the Greek goddess Diana, which is the Greek name for the Babylonian goddess Ishtar. They're all the same goddess, but in each society, they would just change the name to fit in. Like I was saying, if we go to Revelation 17 and verse 5, Revelation 17 and verse 5, I'm going to start in verse 4, actually. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. Now it's interesting, Babylon the Great, that word literally is Babylon the Megala. Megala is the Greek word, and it means superpower. Megala means big, gigantic, superpower. So it says Babylon the superpower. And we know in the world today there is only one superpower. Maybe 10 or 20 years ago, You could have said, well, hey, it could be another superpower. So right here on your checklist, only America could fulfill the great superpower, Babylon, the great superpower. And Revelation 17:5, like we said, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. She led every false religion into the country, the Hindus, the Muslims, the Catholics. And it's the word abomination is 946 in your Strong's Concordance. And it's pollutions. It could be moral pollutions, physical. And it also refers to a bad smell, almost like breaking wind. And it's a coincidence that the torch that is lit in the Statue of Liberty is with natural gas, and it has that type of sulfur smell, you know, the bad smell. Do you know also that the Statue of Liberty, originally, it was given to America by two Frenchmen who were Masons. They were top 32nd and 33rd degree Masons. And originally it had a golden cup, a scarlet robe, and later it was changed. Later it was changed to the torch. But originally it had a golden cup in her hand. Now, if you look at history, any empire in history is controlled three ways. It's controlled by political, economic, and religion. Political, economic, and religion. Politically, in New York, you have the United Nations. Economically, you have Wall Street. And religiously, you have St. Patrick's Cathedral, which, next to the Vatican, is probably the most famous cathedral in the world. You also have the Twin Towers of Babel that are two of the highest buildings in the world. You know, when you look at the Towers of Babel. Let's start looking at Babylon the Great. Because in the Bible, Babylon is talked about as a great power. And who else is a greatest power on the earth beside America? We already said that Megala literally means Babylon the superpower. Let's go to Isaiah 47. Back to Isaiah 47. I'll just read a few verses here, starting in verse 5. Isaiah 47 in verse 5. It says, sit you silent and get you into darkness, O daughter of the Chaldeans. For you shall no longer be called the Lady of Kingdoms. United States of America, Lady of Kingdoms. I was mad with my people. I have polluted my inheritance and given them into your hand. You did show them no mercy upon the ancient. Hast thou very heavily laid thy yoke. And you said, I shall be a lady forever. So that you did not lay these things to heart, neither did you remember the latter end of it. Therefore, hear now this, you that are given to pleasures, that dwell carelessly, and say in your heart, I am, and none else is beside me. I shall not sit as a widow, neither shall I know the loss of children. But these two things shall come in a moment. In one day, the loss of children and widowhood, they shall come upon you in their full power for the multitude of your sorceries and for the great abundance of your enchantments. You want to know something? These exact words are literally what Americans have not only told me, but what they say. We will never stop from being a power. We even saw on BBC a number of times shows and interviews with different people about the world today and how this new world order is coming in the global economy, and how they'll say, yeah, that the Americans, they can't see that they would ever go down. And they talk historically about the Roman Empire and the Greek Empire, and how every empire has a time. Every empire comes and goes, but the Americans think that theirs is going to last forever. And it's because of pride and pleasure seeking, like we just read. And you know, if you look at Daniel 2:44, it talks about in the times of these four kingdoms, these four end time kingdoms that are going to be on the earth, Yeshua returns and crushes all four kingdoms. And you logically have to ask yourself, if you're out there thinking America will never be destroyed and is going to be there forever, how on earth can the kingdom of Yahweh ever come? Unless the system of America and the country of America was destroyed. Let's go back to Revelation 18, talk a little bit more about Babylon the Great, this great power, this awesome power. Revelation 18, in verse 7, it says, how much she has glorified herself and lived luxuriously, so much torment and sorrow give her, for she has said in her heart, I sit as a queen, and I am no widow, and you shall see no sorrow. Now, for anybody out there also that wants to try to say that Jeremiah 50 and 51 does not correlate with Revelation 17 and 18, the wording is almost exactly the same. You could find for every characteristic, and if you notice, I'm giving one from the Old Testament and one from the New, and they say the same exact thing. And like I said, very, very important, because I've had people try to tell me this about Jeremiah 50 and 51. Historically, it has never happened. The things that Jeremiah 50 and 51 say and the destruction that comes on Babylon in one day never ever happened. Just read a history book, don't believe me. But when Babylon was taken over by Cyrus the Mede, they never even stopped trading. There was no big war. There wasn't a great destruction like we read about over here. Let's go back to Jeremiah 51 in verse 41. Jeremiah 51 in verse 41. It says, how Shishak, and again this is another metaphor for Babylon, how Shishak is captured and how the praise of all the earth is seized. How Babylon has become a ruin among the nations. Okay, here it is again. Babylon is not just a system. But Babylon is one nation and has become a ruin in front of the other nations. And Babylon is called the praise of all the earth. Now think about it. Be honest with yourself. If you had to pick one nation in the world today that was looked as the praise of all the earth. And like I said, we've had the blessing of being out of America now for almost 2 years. And we see how everything in the world revolves around America. When there's a problem somewhere, see, remember, we're in the East, so our day is before the American day. And what we see on BBC or in the news, well, here, they're waiting to see what America is going to say. They're waiting to see what America is going to do. There's a problem in the Middle East. Everyone is looking for America to take the lead with the stock markets, or the world economy. The dollar. Every single currency in the world is based on the dollar. Do you know the dollar is the only currency that you can go anywhere in the world and they'll take a dollar? Go to another country, go to Italy or go to Spain and try to give them a ruble try to give them a Greek drachma. They won't take it. They will not take it, but a dollar they will take anywhere because America is the praise of all the earth. They are the world's only superpower. They are the only world policemen. They have the greatest military by far of anybody in the world right now. And you just got to be honest with yourself. Because, see, this isn't something you have to take by faith. I am showing you dogmatic proof. Dogmatic proof that only America fulfills and fits every one of these characteristics. Again, we talked about America, the woman being in royal robes, scarlet and purple. All that means is, if you look in the Bible, and I'm not going to go there, but you can look at Daniel 5:7 later, and it talks about Daniel was going to be given robes of scarlet and purple if he could answer the dream. And all that means is luxury and royalty. In the Bible, many times, do a word study on purple and scarlet, and you'll see that it only meant royalty, the way that Babylon is. Babylon is luxury. Babylon is richness. Babylon is royalty. If we go to Revelation 17... Revelation 17 and verse 3 and 4. We read that over there already. Let's just go to verse 9. It says, here is the mind which has wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sits. And people have misunderstood this to mean that it's got to be the seven hills of Rome, that Babylon's got to be the Catholic Church. But very interesting. Talks about seven mountains, not hills, but the woman sits on seven mountains. Now, do you know that there's a word for hill from the Latin called bonios? That is the word for hill. And literally, the word bonios was made for the seven hills of Rome. That's how it was made. This word here, though, this Greek word is not bonios for seven mountains. This word is oros, which means mountain. So if it was referring to Rome, they definitely would have used bonios because that word literally means the seven hills of Rome. So this is not referring to Rome at all. But the woman sits on seven mountains where the woman sits. And again, there are seven continents in the world. And what it's saying is the woman controls the whole world. She sits on seven continents. And there's not a continent on this earth right now that America doesn't control. They have military bases in every single continent. They control by their water guard, all in their navy, all the waters. They control airspace everywhere. They're having problems now with China over this because they're in their airspace everywhere. But America controls all seven continents. And there's no country or military by far, that is anywhere close to the control that America has on the world, economically and militarily. By far, there's nobody. And that is what's holding back World War III right now because people don't want to lose the economic proudness that they have with America, and they also don't want to get whacked with her military might. But by far, America controls that. Let's look at America now. Babylon, the great military might. Babylon, the great military might. Let's go to Habakkuk 1. Habakkuk 1, starting in verse 6. Habakkuk 1, starting in verse 6. It says, "For lo, I will raise up the Chaldeans, that bitter and hasty nation, which shall march through the broad open spaces of the land to possess the dwelling places that are not theirs." And if you just think about this verse for a minute, this is exactly how America became a nation. They literally marched through the broad open spaces of the land and possessed dwelling places that were not theirs. With the American Indians, they just slaughtered them and took all the land for themselves. It says they are terrible and dreadful. Their judgments and their dignity shall proceed of them. Their horses are also swifter than leopards, and are more fierce than the evening wolves, and their horsemen shall spread themselves, and their horsemen shall come from afar. They shall fly as the eagle that hastes to eat. And again, whether it's by air, you know, their air force or their navy, by far, they are number one in the world. If we drop down to verse 10, it says, "They shall scoff at kings and princes, shall be a scorn unto them. They shall deride every stronghold, for they shall heap dust and take it." And this is exactly what America does. It doesn't matter. They scoff at kings and princes. The whole world has said, we got to do something about global warming. We have to have a pact. And America says, hey, you know, what did President Bush come out there and say? I got to look after my country first. I ain't going to do nothing that's going to hurt our economy. Babylon, you know, the world democracy. That's what it's all about. Babylon is about trading in money. It's about the New World Order, the system of world democracy. And if you believe in a New World Order and you believe in globalization, then Babylon is the heart of it. And you'd have to be blind not to see that America is the force behind the globalization. They are the globalization. They have brought globalization to the world, but they're getting very soon to the point, like it says in Revelation, where the woman, the whore, rather the beast, hates the woman, the whore, and is going to throw her off and destroy her. Now, if we go back to Jeremiah 50 and verse 23, Jeremiah 50 in verse 23, it says, "How the hammer of all the earth is cut off and broken. How Babylon has become a ruin among the nations." Now, literally, that word, hammer of all the earth, it's a Jewish idiom, and it literally means world policeman. It means hammer is to pound. The way that militarily you pound and you pound and you pound, the way with Saddam Hussein, or the way in Kosovo, we went in there and night after night we pounded them and pounded them and pounded them until they had to surrender. And that's what it means. The hammer of all the earth literally means world policeman. And again, be honest with yourself. Be honest with yourself. Who is the world policeman? Who is the world policeman? It's not the United Nations. The United Nations is America. That's all the United Nations is. If America doesn't back the United Nations with something, they're not going to do it. When America went in and destroyed Iraq back in 91, the Gulf War, with the coalition was America. And look now 10 years later how it's fallen apart. And who's left to the coalition? America and Britain. They're the only two nations that still go in there and still bomb and still try to keep the no-fly zones and still try to keep the sanctions against Iraq. But it's America. America is the only world policeman. And they say it right on the news. We hear it. We've seen interviews. We've seen interviews with heads of state of America. And they'll say, how does America feel to be the only world policeman? This is not something that's hidden. This is something that is in the open. And if you're honest with yourself, there is nobody else that could be the world policeman. But like I said, Babylon has a great military. I'll go to one more scripture here in Jeremiah 50 in verse 30. Jeremiah 50 and verse 30, it says, "So her young men shall fall in the streets, and all her mighty men of war shall be silenced in that day, states Yahweh." You might write down verse 36 and 37. I'm not going to go there. Jeremiah 50, 36 and 37. And Jeremiah 51, 30, talking about the great military might of Babylon. Jeremiah 51, 30. Now, another thing that's very interesting is, if we go to Jeremiah 51 verse 9, Jeremiah 51 verse 9, says, we would have healed Babylon, but she is not healed. Forsake her and let us go, each one to his own country. For her judgment reaches up to the heavens and is lifted up to the skies. Her judgment has lifted up to the skies. Now let's go to verse 51-53. And we'll see it says, though Babylon should mount up to the heavens, and though she should fortify her strong height, plunderers shall come from me to her, declares the Yahweh. Now it's a real interesting thing when you look at this. Because the word for lift up in Hebrew, the word is nasa, nasa, N-A-S-A. So it says, although Babylon should mount up to heaven, the word for to lift up to the skies or to mount up to heaven is the word nasa. And we know that the space program in America is called nasa. Another thing that's very, very interesting, when you look, remember, because Babylon, although we think a lot of end-time Babylon, this great military might, this great economic power, this great whore that brings in all kinds of false religion. But remember, originally Babylon was known for what? The Tower of Babel. Tower of Babel. And what was the Tower of Babel all about? They were building a tower up to heaven. Right now, America has built what they call the International Space Station. The International Space Station. And they literally have built a city up in the heavens. Now, we saw just a few weeks ago, they had a man who was the first tourist that went up to heaven, and they said this is only the beginning of this. That this is the future, that people will be taking time sharing up in the heavens. Now, if you can't see the connection between Babylon, the Tower of Babel, and this kind of thing, when even the word to lift up in Hebrew is nasa. It's just overwhelming, these little things that Yahweh shows us. Another thing that's very interesting is, you know, when you look at the one language of Babylon, you know, that they had to confound their languages after that. Well, today there is a universal language. Okay, if you look on the computers, every computer is in English. And they are bringing computers all over the world. Now, we have traveled in many countries over the last couple of years, and I've traveled for the last 10 years in many different countries. And do you know that in every country you go into, English is spoken? There's not, hardly, I mean, if you go to maybe some really off-back tribal places, you might not be able to speak to someone, or real, you know, like maybe in Greece, if you go up into the villages where just old people live there, maybe they won't speak anything but Greek or whatever. In Italy, it's the same way in the old villages. But almost everywhere in the world, especially every major city, English is the universal language. And definitely on computers. English is universal on every computer. Some computers, like in Israel, we see the Hebrew underneath the English, but every computer is universal in the English language. And it's also very interesting when you look at the Mark of the Beast, the 666, that in Hebrew, they don't have letters. They don't have numbers, rather. So each letter, like the first letter in the Hebrew alphabet, is Aleph. Aleph is the numeral value of 1. The Bet, the second letter, is the numeral value of 2. Do you know the sixth letter in the Hebrew alphabet is the Vav? And it's the W. W-W-W. 666. You know, and what is the computer? Every website is the W-W-W. Now granted, I'm not saying that that is the mark of the beast, because I do believe there'll be a computer chip, but I believe this whole system of world democracy is the mark of the beast. I think the chip is just the outward sign of that mark. But I believe the mark of the beast is this world democracy, and I believe that Yahweh is telling us to come, not only to come out of Babylon, the land that's going to get destroyed because they brought this system to the world, but we are to come out of this world democracy. I believe by being in this evil, wicked economic system, all it does is take away our faith and take away our mind and just it really exhausts us. And we are getting so close to the end that we can't play games with our spiritual salvation. But like I said, there's what we've seen over the last 2 years is there are no coincidences. There are absolutely no coincidences. We have seen literally miracle after miracle happen. And every time we see a miracle, we say there's no coincidences. We know that this is Yahweh's hand. And the same way here with the WWW, with the International Space Station, you know, the Towers of Babel, NASA, you know, lifting up to the skies. None of these things are coincidences. go to one more scripture in Revelation 17, 18. Revelation 17, 18. And it says, the woman, we read this before, the woman which you saw is that great city which reigns over the kings of the earth. And like I said, if you're honest with yourself, the praise of the earth, you know, who does everyone want to be like? Who does everyone emulate? You know, where does Hollywood and all the movies and all the musicians and all these things come? They all come out of America. The clothing, the styles, the fashions, they all come out of America. Who is the only world policeman? You know, like it says in Jeremiah 50, 23. Only America. Let's look now at Babylon, the great economic might. Because one of the major things that Babylon is known for is her money, her luxuries, her economic power. You know, this world democracy. In Revelation 18 and verse 3, it says, for all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her luxuries. And boy, tell me that isn't true. Do you know that since NAFTA and GATT was signed back in the mid-90s, and if you don't know what NAFTA and GATT is, this is where Clinton had signed it for free trade, where American corporations now can go in all these countries in the world, especially third world countries, and they could set up Nike and you name it, whatever company it is, IBM, they could set up their corporations in these third world countries, and they could produce all these goods for a fraction of the cost. Because they don't have to pay all the money and help and all the benefits and all that stuff. And that's why the stock market boom came. As soon as NAFTA and GATT came in 94 on. I mean, for 4 or 5 years, the stock market was going crazy because the prices of the goods never came down, but the corporate profits were going wild. And that's what they did. They've committed fornication with all the kings of the earth and all the merchants. And like I said, Babylon has these trading packs with just about everyone on the face of the earth. It doesn't matter if they're a friend or an enemy. Do you know, even with Iraq, even with Saddam Hussein, our arch enemy, that America has all these trading packs? Do you know we get 600,000 barrels of oil a day from Iraq? That's what Bush just said the other day when he was talking about drilling in Alaska. And he said, we can get about 600,000 barrels a day. He said, you might say, well, what's 600,000 barrels? And he said, it's exactly what we get from Saddam Hussein every day. So that's the thing. Money overtakes everything. Do you know, in many cultures, especially the Chinese, they're very, very proud people. And do you know that they would lose millions of dollars in profit if you hurt their pride, if you degraded them? It wouldn't matter. If you tear down their honor, degrade their honor, money doesn't mean anything at that point. And that's why I believe that China and America will wind up in a military action and probably not too far down the line, because it doesn't matter to them how many people are killed or this and that. When their honor gets pushed too far, you know, they're going to stand up and they're going to fight. See, America's not like that, though. America comes down to money. It comes down to luxuries and money and pleasure-seeking and what they can get. You know, and they'll play with the devil if they have to. And that is what he's talking about, that they've committed fornications, that the wicked pacts they've made, that, you know, on the outset they say they're a Christian nation, but yet when they know Christians are being killed in places, they're still giving money to these countries and still trading with these countries, like Egypt, because they need Egypt as that stronghold next to Israel to make sure they get their oil. That's what it all comes down to. If we were not getting oil in the Middle East, America could care less what goes on over there, including in Israel. But we need to keep a stronghold because of the oil that we're getting. So it doesn't matter how many people die or whatever, they look at the bigger picture. They look at the bigger picture. I remember reading an article years back when the rebels, the Nicaraguan rebels, you know, and on one end, America publicly was saying they were backing one side, and then privately they were giving money to the other side because they didn't want the other side to be democratic, because if Nicaragua became a democracy, all the coffee prices would go soaring through the roof. And hey, you know, Americans really like coffee. So, hey, you know, so some people die, so they have to be under, you know, suppressive government. What's the big deal? You know, we get a good cup of coffee and we get it pretty cheap. It's like that in many, many areas. You know, that the games that are played through politics for money, for money. But that's what it says about, you know, she's lived luxuriously. Now, I want to read here probably one of the greatest proofs that only America could be Babylon. And I'm going to start reading here in Revelation 18. And I'm going to start reading in verse 9. Revelation 18, 9. Because this states here all the things that Babylon trades. These are all the things that Babylon trades. Revelation 18, 9. And the kings of the earth will weep for her, and they'll wail over her. Those having fornicated and having luxuriated with her, when they see the smoke of her burning, standing from afar because of the fear of her torment, saying, woe, woe to that great city Babylon, that strong city, for in 1 hour her judgment came. See, the people can't believe it. How could the greatest military might, how could the biggest economic power, how could in 1 hour can it be destroyed? Which goes to show it's probably going to be some type of nuclear. Only by nuclear weapons could it be that quick. And the merchants of the earth will weep and mourn over her because no one buys her cargo or merchandise anymore. Do you know America trades, exports and imports, more than any country in the world. Exporting and importing of cargo, of trade, more than anyone in the world. And only America. There is not a country on this earth that if they fell tomorrow, that the world would stop, except for America. The whole economic picture of this world. Do you know, just recently, they're talking about a global slowdown. Just because the American economic picture is slowing down, the whole world is afraid of a worldwide recession. Can you imagine if America was gone overnight? That is the only country. There have been all kinds of problems. Japan fell over the last few years. Brazil fell. All these economies. Russia. All of these economies collapsed over the last 5 years or so. And the world moved on. Only America, that if they collapsed, you would have a worldwide depression like this world never knew. And it's the exact situation where the beast could rise out of it, like it says. And then it tells us what they trade. Okay? It says, cargo of gold and silver, of precious stones and pearls and fine linen, of purple, of silk, of scarlet, of every wood, of every vessel of precious wood, of bronze and iron and marble and cinnamon and incenses and ointments and frankincense and wine and oil and fine meal and wheat and beasts and sheep and horses and chariots and bodies and souls of men. Body and souls of men. What were we saying just a minute ago about NAFTA and GATT? How America has opened these companies all over the world, their corporations, and what do they find out? They're finding out that there's sweatshops, that these poor people, these kids are working for $1 a week and working them 14, 16 hours a day. They've made merchandise out of the souls of men. We just saw on BBC just about a week ago how cocoa in the Ivory Coast, they sell these children for $50. They sell them as a slave because 50% of the world's cocoa comes out of the Ivory Coast. And you know something? Hey, Nestle's a big company. And there's a lot of Americans that love cocoa. And we don't want to pay a lot of money for our cocoa. So hey, the kid gets sold into slavery. And he works 16 hours a day and doesn't get paid. What's the big deal? I can drink cocoa. It's absolutely sick. Why is Yahweh so upset at this system? Because this system has enslaved the world. It's enslaved the world and it's destroying his people. It's destroying his called out ones. How many precious souls of brethren that are living in America are part of this system, and it's literally zapping the life out of them. Literally zapping the faith out of them. That's why he's so upset. But do you know something? Every single thing that I just read here, every single thing that I just read, America trades more in one day of all these things than the whole world put together. Do you know only America has a commodity exchange? Only in America can you trade these things. So here it is. You got your checklist? You don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure this out. There's 25 things that are listed here. America trades more than everyone in one day than the world combined. So you don't have to take this on faith. Get a Wall Street Journal. These are just facts that I'm telling you here. This is not for debate. It's just facts. So how could you deny? How could you deny that America is Babylon? How on earth can you deny when it says that all the merchants of the earth weep and mourn because these 25 things, Babylon doesn't trade anymore? When America every day trades more than the world combined. And like I said, only in America, only in Chicago, only do they have a commodity exchange in America. That's where you go and you trade all these things, only over there. Let me drop down to verse 17. It says, for in 1 hour such great wealth was desolated. Who is the greatest, wealthiest country in the world? By far America. Do you know that Europe, they got this EU, United Europe now? There's whatever it is, 15 nations in it. They're trying to go up to 28. Do you know that all 15 nations together can't even produce more than half of what America produces? All of them together. And this is, you're just talking about America, one nation. In 1 hour, such great wealth is desolated. And take Europe out of the picture. Nobody else in the world produces anywhere near the amount that America does. And every ship pilot and all the company of the ships and sailors and as many as worked the sea stood afar off and cried out, seeing the smoke of her burning, saying, what is like this great city? And they threw dust on their heads and cried out, weeping and mourning, saying, woe, woe to the great city by which all those having ships in the sea were made rich from her costliness, because in 1 hour she was ruined. Wow. Rejoice over her, heaven, and the holy apostles and the prophets, because Yahweh judged your judgment on her. Here it is. The number one trader in the world, the greatest seaports in the world. These are just facts. You don't have to be a genius to figure this out. Only America does this. Let's go to one more scripture in Jeremiah 51. Jeremiah 51 and verse 13. And we read this before. About a costliness, so you that live by many waters, rich in treasures, your end has come in the measure of your unjust gain. And that's why do you think at all these global meetings of the IMF, the International Monetary Fund, all these globalization meetings, why do you think they're having all these riots? Because the people are rioting because they're saying this globalization is not working. America's getting richer and the rest of the world is suffering. There are over a billion people in the world today, which is one-sixth of the world, that is literally starving to death. Half the world, 3 billion people, are malnutritioned. They're going hungry. But over a billion are literally starving to death. There's over a billion people that work making rice, number one job in the world. What do they work for, $1 a day? Something like that? See, globalization, it's not working for these other countries. It just isn't. Africa, forget about that. Whole continent is just in shambles. But for America, it's worked great for the last 10 years. Stocks are up, people are making money, they're going on vacations, they're living like kings and queens, while everybody else in the world is suffering. But it's coming to an end. It is coming to an end. Let's get into here. Why is Babylon so bad? Why is it so bad? Jeremiah 51 and verse 7. Jeremiah 51 and verse 7. Babylon was a golden cup in the hand of Yahweh, making all the nations drunk. The nations have drunk of her wine, therefore the nations are mad. The nations are mad. And you know what? America has brought this world democracy. If you do a study and you look at world governments over the last 10 to 12 years, look at how many governments have changed. Do you know they had a meeting a few weeks back, and 32 nations in Central, South, and North America made a free trade pact over there. Every nation except Cuba was part of it. Never before. Do you know all these nations down there in Central and South America, they were never democratic before. It's just in the last decade or so that all these have been brought into this world democracy. And all you're seeing are more riots. You're seeing governments toppled. You're seeing all kinds of people rioting against the government. You know why? Because we're living in the Laodicean era. And you know Laodicean, you're increased in goods. You're rich and increased with goods and in need of nothing, but you're really poor and blind and miserable and naked. Do you know that the word Laodicean literally means ruled by the people? Literally means that, ruled by the people. And is it working? Or is it bringing more of an anti-government attitude? Is it bringing violence? Is it bringing all kinds of riots? Believe me, world democracy is not Yahweh's way. In His kingdom, there will be order. And there will be justice. And there will be like it says, the 12 apostles ruling and judging the 12 tribes. It's not going to be ruled by the people. It's going to be ruled by law. And there's going to be penalties for breaking law. And you're not going to have everybody just doing what's right in their own eyes. But if we look, Babylon, for their pride, their idolatry, their pleasure seeking. And we've read all these scriptures here. I'm not going to read them all again. But their pride, their idolatry and their pleasure seeking are the main things why Yahweh is going to destroy them. Let's go to Jeremiah 50 and verse 28. I will go to one scripture here. Jeremiah 50 and verse 28. It says, "The voice of those who flee and escape out of the land of Babylon to declare in Zion the vengeance of Yahweh," or Elohim, "the vengeance of his temple." Do you know there may be more Christians that say they believe in Christ living in America than anywhere else on earth for one country? And yet how many are being destroyed there because of false religion? How many true ones? I would say you have 280, 285 million Americans. Probably close to 180 to 200 million are probably Christians, somewhere around there. How many are true Christians? How many obey the commandments? How many obey Yahweh's word? How many love his law? Very, very few. And why? Because of Babylon. Because of the system of world democracy. Because of the false religion they've allowed into the country. Because like it says in Jeremiah 50, they've forgotten their resting place. They've turned away from his Sabbath. They turned away from his laws. And they've bought into a false grace. But because of their pride, because they're going to be punished. I'll go to one more scripture about that. Jeremiah 50 and verse 31 and 32. Right where we just were. Jeremiah 50 and 31 and 32. It says, "Behold, I am against you, O proud one, says Yahweh Elohim of hosts. For your day has come, the time I will punish you. And the proud one shall stumble and fall, and none shall raise him up. And I will kindle a fire in his cities, and it shall burn up everything all around him." Everything is going to go. Absolutely everything is going to go because Yahweh is upset. Because these people, like we read in Isaiah, it's full of pleasure-seeking, it's full of pride, and it's full of idolatry. Full of idolatry. Let's start looking at her judgment. Let's go to Jeremiah 50. In verse 41 and 42. Jeremiah 50 and verse 41 and 42. It says, "Behold, a people shall come from the north, and a great nation, and many kings shall be stirred up from the farthest parts of the earth. They shall lay hold of a bow and a spear, they shall be cruel, and they will show no mercy." Okay, this is a literal attack. It is a literal destruction that is going to come on America. Let's go back to verse 13 of Jeremiah 50. Verse 13, "Because of the wrath of Yahweh, it shall not be inhabited, but all of it shall be a waste. Everyone who goes by Babylon shall be amazed and hiss at her plagues. Put yourself in order against Babylon all around. All you who tread a bow, shoot at her. Do not spare arrows, for she has sinned against Yahweh. Shout against her all around. She has given her hand. Her foundations have fallen. Her walls have been thrown down, for it is the vengeance of Yahweh." Drop down to verse 22. "A sound of battle is in the land, and of great ruin. How the hammer of all the earth is cut off and broken. How Babylon has become a ruin among the nations. I have laid a trap for you, and you were also captured, Babylon, and you did not know. You were found and also caught, because you stirred up yourself against Yahweh. Yahweh has opened his armory and has brought out his weapons of fury. For this is a work of Yahweh, Elohim of hosts, in the land of the Chaldeans. Come against her from the end, open her granaries, pile up her heaps, and utterly destroy her. Do not let a remnant be left." Do not let a remnant be left. It is going to be totally destroyed and no one is left. Drop down to verse 39. Verse 39. "So the beasts of the desert shall dwell there with the jackals, and the daughters of the ostrich shall dwell there in her again. And it shall not again have anyone in it forever. It shall not be lived in until generation and generation. As Elohim overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah and their neighbors, declares Yahweh, so no man shall live there, nor shall a son of man stay in it." This never happened. This kind of destruction never happened to Babylon the first time. Matter of fact, when Babylon was taken in 539 BC, almost 600 years later, when Yeshua walked the earth, there were more Jews living in Babylon than there were in Jerusalem. 600 years later, they were still a nation. They didn't cease from being a nation until around the 2nd or 3rd century. So these were never fulfilled, and it happened a gradual thing. And recently, over the last 10, 15 years, Saddam Hussein has rebuilt the ancient city of Babylon, which the Bible says it will not be rebuilt. So again, this is end time stuff. This is not talking about ancient Babylon whatsoever. Let's go to Jeremiah 51:13. Oh, you who live by many waters. Oh, we read that one already. Let's go to 51:29. And the land shall tremble and writhe in pain, for every purpose of Yahweh shall be done against Babylon, to make the land of Babylon a desert without one inhabitant. The mighty men of Babylon have stopped fighting. They have dwelt in strongholds. Their might has withered. They became as women. They have burned their houses. Her bars are broken. A runner shall meet to meet a runner, and a herald to a herald, to announce to the king of Babylon that his city is captured from end to end. And the fords are captured, and they have burned the reeds with fire, and the men of war are terrified. For so says Yahweh of hosts, the Elohim of Israel, the daughter of Babylon is like a grain floor. It is time to tread her. Yet a little while, and the time of her harvest has come. So over and over we see, not one person is left there. Not one person. Let's go down to verse 43. Her cities have become a ruin, a dry land, and a wilderness, a land in which no man dwells, nor does any son of man pass by it. So it's not only just the city of Babylon, it's all the land of the Chaldeans. So it cannot be just New York, all her cities. And again, New York doesn't have a military and none of these other things. But her cities are a desolation. A desolation. No man dwells there, and nobody comes by there. Nobody comes by there. Jeremiah 51 and verse 62, one more verse. Then you shall say, O Yahweh, you have spoken against this place to cut it off, so that no dweller shall be in it, from man to animal, but it shall be a ruin forever. And I think this is really clear. I don't know how much clearer you can get than this, that not one person will be left. Well, there's many brethren living in the land. They may ask, well, what happens then? What do we do? I've heard many people say, well, you know, no matter where you are on the face of the earth, Yahweh can protect you. And I believe he can, if you're in his will. But think about it. If you were in Sodom, when Yahweh was going to destroy Sodom, and like Lot, when the angel came to Lot and said, you got to get out of here, this place is going to be destroyed. What if Lot said, hey, look, you know, messenger of Yahweh, I could stay here because I'm righteous. He'll destroy it, but I'll make it. I don't think it would have happened. I don't think it would have happened. See, the thing is, yes, Yahweh can protect anybody anywhere he wants. But if he's going to destroy something, and it is his will to destroy something, then what's the best thing to do? Well, let's read it right out of his own word, what the best thing to do is. Let's go to Jeremiah 50. Jeremiah 50, and starting in verse 3. Because I'm going to show you the time frame now, too, of Jeremiah 50 and 51, that it is not talking about something that happened 25 years ago, but this is end time. Jeremiah 15, starting in verse 3. For a nation comes up against her from the north, which shall make her land a desert. Yea, no one shall dwell in it. They shall flee. They shall depart, both man and animal. See? It's going to be destroyed, and the people are going to get out of there. In these days and at that time, the sons of Israel shall come, declares Yahweh. They and the sons of Judah together, going and weeping, they shall go and seek Yahweh their Elohim. They shall ask the way to Zion, with their faces pointing. They're saying, come and let us join ourselves to Yahweh in an everlasting covenant, never to be forgotten. Well, this is Ezekiel 36, is what it's talking about. The nation of Israel, the 10 tribes, and Judah coming together back to Israel to join in the everlasting covenant. This has not happened yet. This is for the future. And look what he says in verse 8. Flee from the midst of Babylon and go out of the land of the Chaldeans and be as the he-goats before the flock. See, we are to get out of there because Yahweh is going to destroy it. Jeremiah 50 and verse 28. 50 and verse 28. He says, the voice of those who flee and escape out of the land of Babylon to declare in Zion, the vengeance of Yahweh, our Elohim, the vengeance of his temple. So we're not to stay there. We are to get out of there. Jeremiah 51, 9 and 10. 51, 9 and 10. We would have healed Babylon, but she is not healed. Forsake her and let us go, each one into his own country. for her judgment reaches to the heavens and is lifted up to the skies. Yahweh has brought forth our righteousness. Come and let us declare in Zion the work of Yahweh our Elohim. See, this whole system of world democracy cannot last with Yeshua's kingdom coming. And Yahweh is going to completely destroy it and annihilate it. Absolutely, completely. Let's go to Jeremiah 51 and 45. 51 and verse 45. My people go out of her midst, and each man deliver his soul from the fierce anger of Yahweh. See, he doesn't tell us to stay there. He doesn't tell you that you'll be protected in Babylon. He says to leave the land. I'll go to one more scripture here in Revelation 18. Revelation 18 and verse 4. New Testament scripture. Revelation 18, 4. And I heard another voice out of heaven saying, my people, come out of her that you may not share in her sins and that you may not receive of her plagues. So what does he say? He tells his people to come out, and if you look that word, come out, it literally means to leave the land to go abroad. It's not just a spiritual condition. Although, if you leave your land and you don't spiritually come out of world democracy, what good is it? Absolutely, what good is it? You have to leave the system of Babylon before you could leave the land of Babylon. But if, when there's 7 or even 8 or 9 direct commands to leave the land of Babylon, you cannot expect that Yahweh is going to protect you there. You cannot expect. He would not say something 8, 9 times and then just not do it. And again, that part of the major thing of Babylon and the problem with Babylon is because of the pleasure seeking, because of the economics, because of the money and the wealth, they have used that and replaced it for faith. There's no faith in Yahweh in that system. The faith is in a paycheck. The faith is in a refrigerator. The faith is in a big house or a big car. And since we are getting to the time of the end, and we know we can only enter the kingdom by faith, we got to stop relying on mammon. Remember what I said in the beginning? What the word picture for Babylon was? The confusion of serving two masters. Serving two masters. You can't do it. You can't do it. You'll love the one and hate the other, or you'll cling to the one and despise the other. And that's the problem. When you're living in Babylon and you're part of that system, it is impossible to serve Yahweh 100% and be a slave to the system of world democracy. It's impossible. And nowhere in his word does he say, nowhere, that I will protect my people in Babylon. He gives 7, 8, 9 direct commands to get out of there because he says not one person will be left. Not one. And I'll tell you something. When Jeremiah was prophesying to Israel about the destruction that was going to come at the hands of Babylon, do you know he started prophesying in 626 BC? He started prophesying 20 years before the destruction came. They thought he was a heretic. They thought he was a liar. They thought he was a false prophet. Because he said, destruction is coming. And 1 year went by, 2 years went by, 5 years went by, 10 years went by. But just like Yahweh says, that not one word of mine will come back to me void. I don't know when this destruction is going to come. It could happen in 6 months to a year. It might be 10 or 15 years down the line. I have no idea when this destruction is going to come. But I know one thing 100%, that the day will come that America will be completely destroyed and there will not be a remnant left. I know that because the Word says it. The Word says it. If you look at all these characteristics, and I couldn't even get into half of the notes that I have here. I got 4 pages and that isn't even part of it. Like I said, normally it's a 3-hour presentation that I do on Babylon. And I can even do more than that. But I think, I'm sure I've given enough today to show you, without a shadow of a doubt, there is nobody else in the world who is the world policeman, the number one economic power, the number one military power. All these things show that only America can be the end time Babylon, the country. And is Babylon a system? Absolutely. It's world democracy. But as we see here, it is also a country, because the country of America is the one who brought the world democracy. And we see that that country will be destroyed. We see that he tells us to come out of her. And literally it means to leave the land to go abroad. I want to go into one more thing very quickly. It's one of the commands of leaving Babylon. It's in Zechariah 2, in the Old Testament. And this is going to go, I'm going to do a somewhat second part of this next week, but not particularly on Babylon. It's going to be called, Where is the Promised Land? Because in Zechariah 2, going down to verse 6, it says, "Ho, ho, flee then from the land of the north, says Yahweh, for I have scattered you as the four winds of the heaven, declares Yahweh. Ho, O Zion, escape, you who live with the daughter of Babylon." And I know for some old worldwide Church of Godders, it's very hard to accept America as Babylon because they were taught for so many years that America is Israel. You know, with the British Israelite theory. And I believe that. I believe that the people in America, many people, not all of them, but I believe many people are Israelites and descendants from Joseph and maybe even other tribes for that matter. But also, as you see here, O Zion who dwells with the daughter of Babylon. What you never see in Scripture, okay, you see the lost 10 tribes. You never see the lost land. The land of Israel has always been in the Middle East, in Israel. And when people go into captivity, when the Jews went into captivity in Babylon, did Babylon become Israel? When Assyria took 70,000 of the Israelites over to Assyria, did Assyria become Israel? When Joseph and all the Israelites went down to Egypt and they were captive in Egypt, did Egypt become Israel? No, of course not. And the land of America is not the land of Israel. And I'm going to get into this next week in depth because I'm going to show you from the covenant of Abraham that the promise to Abraham was to the land and also to his descendants. It was a twofold promise, and we'll see that. But to believe America is Babylon, you don't have to stop believing that many Americans are Israelites. Because I do believe that. I do believe that America, that Israel, O Zion, is captive. The same way, 2,500 years ago, what happened? The Jews were captive in Babylon. The same way today, the Israelites are captive in Babylon. And if you look at historically the parallel, it'll blow your mind. It's just shocking to see it is almost exactly the same parallel. Matter of fact, let's go to Isaiah 52, because I'll show you another scripture right here that talks about the same scripture. Isaiah 52 and verse 11, and this is talking about the Jews when they came out of their captivity to go back to Israel. And it says, depart you, go out from there, touch no unclean thing, go out of the midst of her, and bear the vessels of Yahweh. You shall not go out with haste, nor by flight, for Yahweh will go before you, and the Elohim of Israel will be your rear guard. And it's interesting that my text note here says, the exhortation is addressed to those in Babylon who would have to choose between staying in relative security there or risk the long journey back to Palestine. Those who left would not leave in haste, since they would have the protection of Cyrus. So it's very interesting because it's the same way today. The choice is there. Do we believe Yahweh's word? Do we believe that destruction is coming there? Because now everything looks like peace. They're the number one military in the world. They have all the water surrounding them. There's never been a war there. Do you have the faith to believe those 7, 8, 9 commands to get out of there? Do we have the faith to believe that the place will be destroyed and to move out of there and declare in Zion the vengeance of Yahweh? You know, and sing for joy that his servant Jacob is being redeemed. Because believe me when I say, like I said, I don't know when, but the day will come that the land will be destroyed. And just very, very quickly, I got about a minute or two here. I just want to very quickly go through why Babylon cannot be, number one, the Catholic Church that has no military. They're not the hammer of the earth. They're not the world's number one economic power. Why it couldn't be Iraq, the nation of Iraq, which has no seaports. Iraq doesn't do any trading whatsoever. Matter of fact, they have sanctions more than any other country. And all the nations do not assemble to Iraq. Iraq is not a democracy. It cannot be Rome, because Rome is on seven hills, not on seven mountains. Remember we said the seven bonios, or hills of Rome, not the seven oros, or mountains that it talked about in Revelation. And again, Rome is not the hammer of the whole earth, or the trading. It cannot be a system, because a land is attacked, and a system does not have a military. So Babylon cannot just be a system. It can't just be New York City, because it's all the land of Chaldea, not just Babylon. New York City has no military, they have no president, and New York City is not the hammer of all the earth. So, again, I wish I had a little bit more time to go through a few more things, but study this more on your own. If you have anything that you believe this proves this, because there are some scriptures I couldn't go over, please write me. But please study this, because this is important. This is prophecy. This is stuff that's going to happen in the next few years. And if you stay in the land, you're going to suffer the consequences. Because as much as you're hearing me speak today, and again, it could be 6 months from now or 10 years from now, but Babylon will be destroyed, and not one word will come back to Yahweh void.